So there's a phrase, expect the unexpected. That's pretty common saying. Basically, it means don't be surprised that you're going to be surprised. Life isn't going to go as planned. It's messy and beautiful and sometimes very frustrating. You know, sometimes a blessing will get dropped in your lap that you never could have possibly expected. And sometimes it feels like life just keeps kicking you in the teeth for no good reason. To expect the unexpected is to realize that while you might have a great idea in your mind of how things should go, it very often won't. Sometimes bad things just happen, and sometimes good things just happen. One of my favorite movies growing up is Home Alone. We watched that every Christmas in my house. My sister would not let a Christmas pass without us watching Home Alone together. And for those of you who haven't seen the movie, it's this story of a character named Kevin McAllister, Macaulay Culkin, and he dreams of having time by himself. No family. His family, his siblings, his parents, he just wants them gone, wants to live life his way. And so one day, this little 11-year-old boy gets his wish when his parents forget him to go on vacation. His whole family leaves, and they forget this little boy at home, and he finally has the freedom he wants. And the first half of the movie, it's awesome. He gets to eat what he wants, he gets to do what he wants, he gets to act however he wants. But Kevin didn't expect the unexpected. Because for the rest of the movie, he ends up fighting off these two bumbling burglars in hilarious fashion. And along the way, he grows. What he thought would be this simple time by himself makes him realize how much he needs his family, how important his family is. Today, we're going to continue talking about the spiritual gifts, about the power of God that works through every believer. Over the past few weeks, we've talked about the Old Testament, about how the Spirit gave people the ability to have strength and to create and to prophesy and to heal, but it was limited to a select few, the heroes, the prophets, the kings, not for everyone. Today, we're going to look at the New Testament and see how the gifts of the Spirit are often more than we could ever expect. The New Testament starts with a part of the Bible that pretty much all of us should know, even the youngest ones here. It starts with the story of Jesus. It starts with his life, his death, and his resurrection. That God came to earth to live among his people and die for their sins. That not even death could hold God. And he rose from the dead. And I wish we had time to talk about all of this. I wish we had time to go over the whole gospel message every single Sunday because it's so important. But today, the one fact in Jesus' story I want you to hold on to is that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised that the Holy Spirit would come down. That he would fulfill the prophecy that was given in Joel that we talked about last week. And because I know I forget a lot of things, let me read you that prophecy. It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female servants in those days. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit. So when Jesus goes up into heaven, the promise of Joel takes hold. And you can read about it. You know, Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit shows up with power. There are prophecies and tongues and healings for the rest of the book. And where they used to be reserved for just a few, now it's everyone. If you believe in Jesus, if you follow him, if you accept him, from now on, the power of God will flow through you. The supernatural power that enabled Jesus to do all that he did, to build up the church and to grow. And it's this amazing, wonderful, beautiful time at the beginning of Acts. You know, my favorite thing is that thousands and thousands of people came to Christianity by the day. And I always hear people talk about how these claims aren't provable. You know, this book is just a lie, it's just fake. But how do you fake that? Miracles happening in the public square on the biggest holiday in the biggest town of the country. Thousands and thousands of people from Jerusalem came to know Jesus. The book of Acts tells us boldly that lame men walked, people prophesied, and the dead came back to life, all through the gifts of the Spirit. Just like the tabernacle we talked about last week, right? That God gave ability to the craftsmen to make what he'd asked them to make. God gave them power to complete the task that was completely outside of their ability. Because God doesn't call the equipped. God doesn't call people who are talented. God equips the called. God gives his people what they need to do what he's called them to do. The spiritual gifts provide the unexpected power to complete God's mission. And in the first century, the lost found sanctuary in the church. Did you know that Christians used to walk into plague towns? Where there were towns that were full of leprosy or tuberculosis or terrible, awful disease. What the world would do is the healthy would leave and they'd quarantine the town. Leave hundreds or thousands to die. No one would enter them, except for Christians. Would walk into those towns confident in the power of the Spirit and provide healing and comfort and joy to the lost. They act as advisors to kings and queens. The movement of Christianity was an unstoppable tidal wave. There's another prophecy in the Old Testament I want to read you. When the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is turned into a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness abide in the fruitful fields. And the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of white righteousness will be quietness and trust forever. That's what took place when the gifts of the Spirit operated in the church. Righteousness and peace and trust in the midst of a broken world. The power of God was active in the first century. But expect the unexpected, because this is where things get messy. Because how it got messy in the Old Testament is what happened in the New. Remember, we talked about Samson using the gifts he was given very, very poorly. Using them to chase after women and power and fortune. Well, the spiritual gifts are tools, not signs of maturity. And they can be used poorly. Being gifted the power of God is not a small thing. It's a massive responsibility. And it can take you by surprise if you are not prepared. It's exactly what happened in the old church. They were taken by surprise. If you look through the New Testament, you'll see the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of it, has this passion through all of his books to help people understand the Holy Spirit, to help them see what their gifts are actually for. He tells the church in Corinth that there needs to be order. Only two or three can speak out in prophecy, not because he was scared of it or because it was dangerous, but because there needed to be some structure. It would be dangerous if it turned into a competition. Power always requires humility and careful thought. But when I was looking through the New Testament, when I was looking through what Paul said about the spiritual gifts, there's one thing I found really interesting that I wanted to talk about. Throughout Paul's work, he gives these explanations of the gifts. Let me read you one of them. For to one, he gives the utterance of wisdom, to another, knowledge, to another, faith, to another, the gifts of healing, to another, works of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. These lists show up all throughout the New Testament. I actually went through and made a little graph. And for centuries, people have been obsessing over these lists, trying to understand how they fit together, because Paul talks about the gifts over and over and over again. And I've seen a bunch of models.
I've seen people try to group them under those Ephesian ones, the prophet, the pastor. You know, these ones are for apostles, these ones are for pastors, these ones are for prophets. I've seen people try to group them into the inward gifts and the outward gifts. I've seen people try to group them into the supernatural gifts and the natural gifts. That one's kind of funny, because there are no natural gifts. They all flow from the Spirit, even the gift of administration. I've seen lots of people try to fit this pattern into something that they can control and box in. But the problem is, there isn't one. If you look at all these lists, and we could go through it, I'm not going to go through all the boring parts here. Not one gift shows up on every list. Not one gift shows up on every list. And if you look at how Paul writes, it becomes really clear he's not trying to make categories. He's not trying to box in the Spirit by saying God just does these things. He's trying to give a representation, an example. Paul is trying to give some understanding through the responsibility of the spiritual gifts. This isn't the box. Let me get back to that in a second. You can see Paul's care the most in 1 Corinthians. You can see up there that 1 Corinthians comes up 3 times. And we've talked about Corinth. That church was a nightmare. I would never want to pastor in that church. Paul knew it. The gifts were running wild. It was turning into a competition of who could prophesy the most, or who could pray the loudest, or who could heal the best. It was a church full of pride and frustration and hurt. So this is Paul's answer to them about how to deal with the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. I know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit ever says that Jesus is cursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now understand that there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. A variety of service, but the same Lord. A variety of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Basically, what Paul's saying is that the Holy Spirit empowers us in amazing ways. Amazing and radically different. That list that was up there isn't a box. Don't think that God will only do those things. Because the Holy Spirit is capable of the unexpected and requires care. To one, he gives one ability. To another, he gives something radically different. Now, most of you have probably heard of the illustration of the body of the church, right? That some people are fingers, some people are eyes, some people are tongues. If you had a body that was just made of eyes, you would be terrifying and also not very useful. You might see very good, but you'd miss out on so much of life. And again, you would be terrifying. The spiritual gifts are the same way. We each get something radically different. And we should expect the unexpected of the Holy Spirit. People were scared of the original Pentecostal church, of the old Pentecostal church. Because things were happening that weren't necessarily in the Bible, but weren't against them either. People were screaming and shouting, and there was this ecstasy and joy in the church that isn't on any of those lists, but was a gift the Spirit was giving. If you submit to God, if you seek Him out, be prepared for a wild, crazy, unpredictable power to build up His church. And it might not look how you want it to look. Paul saw that and was trying to teach the church. God will make you a hand or a foot or an eye to make you useful. So be useful. One of my One of the lies of the church, or lies that people tell about the church that makes me so frustrated, is that you are enough as a Christian by yourself. The truth is, you are not self-sufficient. You are not self-sufficient as a Christian. The Bible does not promise you that. Now, I always hear Christians say, God will never give me more than I can handle. That is not true. God will never give you more than you and your church family can handle. But don't think for a minute that you can go through the storms of life as just an eye, or just a foot, or just a hand, with just your gifts, and never need the help of anyone else. Because we were never made for isolation. We were never made to endure suffering or pain alone. We were made to be in the body together, to have mercy for each other, to build each other up. Not to say, I can do this by myself, and I will suffer in silence. Maybe God's given you a gift of wisdom. That's awesome. Use that. Because there's somebody else who doesn't have it. You know, we talked about with our board that there are certain gifts that are normal among Pentecostal pastors that I just don't have. I don't. But we need them. So I need the people who have them to step up. You know, I heard last week when I wasn't here that the prayer team came up and had everyone get prayed over, and that is awesome. That is awesome. That's not something normally in my wheelhouse. And we need people to step up and to use the gifts that they have been given, whatever they are. You are the body of Christ and individual members of it. You're the body of Christ and individual members of it. You know, there's a portion after that that's hard. Paul, being Paul, asks some questions. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Are all possessing gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? In English, it looks like there's no answer to those questions. But I'm a giant geek. And if you look in Greek, it's really clear that there is. I'm not going to put it all up there, but there's basically a no at the end of every one of those sentences. Paul's being sarcastic when he says this. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. That would be dumb. God doesn't want us to be self-sufficient. God wants us to be a community. God promises that we can be filled with any gift, but not that we will be filled with every gift. Not because he can't, but because he wants us to lean on each other. The point I'm trying to make is, do not be surprised when the Holy Spirit surprises you. Expect the unexpected, because the Holy Spirit grants a lot of different gifts. Some of them are radically different than what you think. And as long as they're in line with God's character, they can be anything. Like I said, that early Pentecostal church, that ecstasy that they were experiencing, that joy, the screaming and shouting that people were so scared of, the gift of worship. Nothing in the Bible against it. Just wasn't there explicitly, and it scared people. You know, I've seen, Beth has this wonderful story. There's this man at her old church who used to heal people. And all he would do is he'd walk up to somebody, and the words that God put on his mouth every time were, Lord, let your will be done. It was something along those lines. Never said anything else. Just said, Lord, let your will be done. And people be healed. I'm not sure if that's how he wanted it to happen, but that's what happened. Or I've seen people speak in tongues and it sound not what they wanted to. You know, I remember one of my youth pastors told me when I was growing up that when he was first being called to speak in tongues, that the word that God put on his mind was Baba. And he's like, I don't want to say that. That sounds stupid. I don't want to say that. And he did.
and amazing things happened. Don't be surprised if the Holy Spirit surprises you. Don't be surprised that if you ask for one gift, you might get something else. And don't be surprised if the gift you asked for looks nothing like what you thought it would in your mind. If you want to experience full life, then you need to be ready for anything. The Holy Spirit can't be contained. It does not fit on a checklist. It won't fit in a box or a category. Because it is the unfathomable power of God. And asking Him into your life is difficult but worth it. It's what we talked about last weekend with the teenagers. Difficult but worth it. When you seek out the gifts of the Spirit, if you seek out the gifts of the Spirit, and I hope you do, be prepared to submit to anything and receive something that will change your life. So my challenge to you this week, I want you to start to pray. Not for the gifts yet, I want you to pray for submission. Lord, let your will be done. Simple as that. With no caveats, no requirements, no exceptions. Lord, let your will be done. Just pray that every morning and leave it there. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, let your will be done. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you give us focus this week. To not forget this message. That if we want the gifts of the Spirit, we need to start to pray. Before anything else, we need to pray for submission. That our desires, our wants, don't come before serving you. Don't come before being servants of you. So Lord, this week, above everything else, before everything else, let your will be done. Let your will be done in our hearts, in our lives. Give us opportunities to do your will. And challenge us to do your will in ways we'd rather not. Whether that be inviting people to church or youth, whether that be sticking up for someone we'd rather not stick up for, whether that be inviting someone to our home that we'd rather not have in our home, whether that be praying for someone that's the last person we want to pray for. Pray that you give every person here something where they will be challenged to do your will despite themselves. Help us to learn not to be surprised when you surprise us. In your name we pray. Amen.